I'm Joe Kizzy, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly. You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside a stage and 50,000 others there.
Hello everyone and welcome to Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello.
And that's it at the moment tonight. Hopefully Cook will be joining us later. An action-packed week, Matt. What have we got coming up on this week's show?
To kick things off, we're going to have a look at the Fylde game last Saturday. We're going to hear from Neil Smith and Frankie Raymond after that one. We're then going to look at the Dagenham match, which was the following Wednesday. And of course, Bromley fans will be no stranger to the fact that it was on BT Sport. We're going to hear from Neil after that one as well. We're going to catch up with our loans and under-23s, as well as previewing the Chesterfield match and other things that are going on around that. We're going to have a community update as well.
Fantastic. Like you say, Matt, I suppose we're going to obviously start with AFC Fylde. Last Saturday, amazing crowd, all things considered. Over 1,500 people here at the Westminster Way Stadium to watch Bromley take on AFC Fylde. Some interesting facts around that. Fylde, fair play, long distance, etc. I think they brought a handful of supporters. Crystal Palace at home, Millwall at home.
Yeah.
So I think if you'd asked me this time last year what the crowd would have been for on a similar day against AFC Fylde, I don't think I would have said over 1,500. So
no, definitely
absolutely fantastic
not.
Effort from everyone involved, and great to see so many people packed into Hayes Lane for that game. The game itself, Matt?
Yeah, an entertaining one, as you'll probably gather from the scoreline. Bromley, the better side generally, I thought. And at half-time, we're 2-1 down. Two goals from Jordan Williams. The first one, very avoidable. Not clearing the ball into the box, and then the strikers had the simple task of just prodding it into the net, and Mark Cousins got no chance. Should have defended that one better in his defence. And the second goal, obviously after Billy Bingham equalised with a fantastic strike, by the way, from outside the box, really, really good goal. The second goal, again, coming against the run of play, and Fylde didn't really threaten a lot in the first half. Rico had a couple of chances which on another day he would have buried, and perhaps will be frustrated with himself for that, although he's obviously in fantastic form as it is. Went into the second half obviously 2-1 down, and then got a penalty I think it was just after the hour mark, and Frankie Raymond stepped up, left footed penalty into the bottom corner, really, really well struck, which got us the point.
Fantastic.
But I felt
the keeper went the right way and everything.
Yeah, he did, and I think the keeper got fingertips on it, but I think we were very good value for a point. We possibly should have got all three.
Yeah, who was the volley, the header attempt, right at the death?
Obviously Ademeke came on, and with what was the last kicks of the game, he had a shot saved, well saved by Montgomery, the keeper. But then the ball wasn't cleared by Fylde. It came out to Raymond, and it's just one of those moments where it hangs in the air, and it seems
everybody
to last for an age. And he struck it so well, and it's gone inches wide of the post. And you just think, on another day, that would have nestled in the bottom corner, and we would have won the game. But hey-ho, we love a bit of late drama.
It was one of those. Man of the match that day?
Man of the match was Michael Cheek, actually chosen by Skillcrown. There were four of them. Little story here, there were four of them, and Kevin, I think it is, from Skillcrown, isn't it, he came out to see me and said, look, we've gone two for Billy Bingham and two for Michael Cheek, we want you to have the casting vote.
Oh my God.
I thought, oh my gosh, no pressure on
me.
You're
not listening, Billy.
No, Billy was fantastic, but for me, Michael Cheek was the best player on the pitch from both teams, and worked really, really hard, so a very well deserved one for him.
And as usual, you managed to catch up with manager Neil Smith after the game, but you also managed to catch up with Frankie Raymond, and we're going to hear from both of them now.
2-2 draw at home to AFC Fylde. Your thoughts on the match?
Obviously disappointed with the goals that we've let in. You know, a set play that we pride ourselves that we're good at defending it, bouncing the box, which shouldn't happen. And obviously the second goal, I think, which he could have done better. You know, he's held his hand up, but boys are showing me a grit and determination. You know, I've just said to them in there, every game I'm seeing something different from them that I didn't know I had from them. And they kept on believing. They got the second goal. Frankie took the penalty, obviously scored it, running the net to try and get it out because we wanted to go for the third. And then right at the death, you know, Mekki goes through and you just think hit the target. He does, and the keeper pulls off a great save. So, yeah, obviously at times you like that. We're unbeaten, but... No, I think we needed to start the game a little bit better than we did.
Dominant in the first half, would you say? It's frustrating to go in a goal down?
Yeah, totally. You know, that's the frustration of it. We've been so tight up until then. And then to come in 2-1, but there's a belief in there. But the boys, you know, they don't give up. They did it last week against Maidenhead, going a goal behind. And they've gone a goal behind against one of the teams that are going to be the favourites. You know, they were one of the favourites and they still will be this season. So for us to, you know, put them on the back foot for as long as we can, I thought the boys showed some quality in some really good areas, and a little bit of, you know, game management, which got to be better at in certain other areas.
And a month and several games into the season now, still unbeaten, you must be really pleased with that.
I'm absolutely delighted. You know, we just finished August, 8 games in, no losses. We're sitting third in the table. I don't think many people had us in that sort of bracket before the start of the season. But it's going to be hard. You know, we go again on Wednesday. The boys will be in Monday, hopefully no injuries, and another difficult game, which they all are in this division.
Very much showing on TV cameras as well.
Yeah, no, again, you know, that's great for players and everything else, but our sole focus is on, you know, getting a win at Dagenham and Redbridge. It's been a bit of a difficult team for us at their ground, and we've got to make sure that we're on our full mettle. The boys are 100% committed to it, and you know, hopefully get a result.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Frankie, a tall draw against AFC Fylde. What were your thoughts on the match?
Yeah, I think it was always going to be a tough team. They're a good side. I think their goals were probably preventable from us as a team. And we did have a few chances in the first half probably to go in front. But I think we showed massive character again to come from behind in the first half. And I think going on into the second half, I think there was only one team that was going to win the game in the end.
So it's not a fair reflection, the scoreline's not a fair reflection on the game, sorry?
I think no, probably we'll say it was, but I think when you look at probably the last 20 minutes, I think there was only one team pushing for a winner, and that was us. I think we had a few late chances, but we just couldn't get the winner. But I think the performance was another solid performance from us, and we're still unbeaten.
We go to your old club, Dagenham, on Wednesday. Looking forward to that one, live, yeah, in front of the cameras?
Yeah, definitely. It'd be a great game. I think that was just saying it now. I think there's 5 or 6 ex-Dagenham players in our change room now, so it's one that all the boys will be hungry to win and come back with 3 points.
Cool as a cucumber from the spot today?
Yeah, he went the same way, but luckily I got enough on it just to get past him. I think Rico wanted it. He's a little bit disappointed, but yeah, no, it's good to get a goal.
And a really good goal from Billy as well, first time strike.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Massive. Oh yeah, he's shown that he can do that. He's a real danger outside the box with his shooting ability, so any chance he gets is good for us.
Great to hear from both men there. Bit of improv, Matt. We've also we managed to squeeze another interview into this podcast later on that we didn't mention in the intro.
We have, yeah, Cookie, who's managed to not yet join us, unfortunately, managed to catch up with Jake Goodman, so we'll hear from him later on. Obviously a really, really good speaker, great character to have around, and doing lots of exciting stuff, which will be interesting to hear about.
Yeah, like I said, we're going to hear from that later. Next up, Matt, I suppose we better talk about Tuesday night's game.
Wednesday night's game. We were the only teams.
To television, weren't we?
Yeah, we were the only teams to play on Wednesday night in the league for that reason. So everyone else got their games out of the way on the Tuesday night before. And we were left to play on the Wednesday in front of the BT Sport cameras. And normally when we play on TV, it's quite an entertaining affair. I think the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes, this one were quite entertaining. Not sure about the in-between. I think both teams cancelled each other out quite a bit. I think by our own admission, we weren't at our best, neither were they.
Definitely not first half.
No, not first half at all. The things got better in the second half.
Different tempo second half.
It was, yeah.
That's the way we moved forward.
But unfortunately, obviously still missing a couple of players. Good to see Jack back on the bench. Speaking of the bench, the reaction to the last minute equaliser was quite something. I know it's been shared around BT and we've all watched it many times.
Absolutely brilliant. Obviously, 100 and, was it 28 they said officially?
In inverted commas, yeah.
More than that. Bromley fans made the trip, and to be fair, we're in fine form. voice the whole game. Absolutely fantastic effort. And I think there was around 60, 70 of them also back at the Ravens bar watching the game. I saw a few videos on social media afterwards.
Yeah, it's very loud in here, apparently.
Celebrated equaliser, which is absolutely fantastic and brilliant to see. And like I said, I think you've pretty much summed up the game itself. Like you say, the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes really had it all.
Yeah, I mean, we've got into a habit of starting slowly at Dagenham, haven't we?
I think the goal, I tell you what, I remember you said, because we weren't commentating obviously at the time, we were sitting in the press box, and you were on social media, etc. And it was identical.
It was, yeah. Balanta,
we went there last year.
Balanta last year scored in the third minute with a flicked header that we didn't defend properly because he was unmarked, and in the second minute this year with a flicked header when he was unmarked. And as good a player as he is, it should not be happening, especially in the second minute of the game.
I was with you. We were both slowly getting more and more frustrated as the game was going on in the press box. And obviously you forget sometimes you're surrounded by the home fans, etc.
Didn't forget at the end.
Luke Hay was having a good game.
Luke Hay
Where on earth did that come from?
I've never seen him
play like that when he was with us. And then who was up top for them?
Quigley.
Quigley was winning headers and stuff.
Yeah, he was.
Watching the game going, what's going on here?
Yes, yeah. And I know
this can't be happening live on telly. What's going on?
And I know Neil looked to address those issues at half time and you know, made no bones about it that he wasn't happy with the first half. And you could see, like you said, in the second half we came out better.
One thing I do hate though is that social media. The amount of comments from people calling us during the first half, calling us a rugby team. You know, thought we were going long ball there. We were messing up people's bets are accumulating and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the worst one.
Stop bombarding us.
We couldn't care less.
Social media,
really.
And I was really getting the ump. I was bookmarking some of them, thinking, I tell you what, if we turn this around. But
we didn't see it coming, did we? To be fair, towards the end, obviously.
You know what, the free kick? What was the free kick? Who
90th
hit the free kick?
Minute, Rico.
Oh, Rico. When Rico hit the free kick. And he tipped it over the bar.
The keeper made a brilliant save, yeah.
I thought that was it. I thought that was the last moment where, oh my God, we're going to get
it. That was it, yeah.
Thankfully, though, it wasn't. And no doubt everyone's watched this on social media already, or no doubt was in the Ravens bar watching it, or was at the game. And if you're at the game, then it was the least you guys deserved for making that effort on the Wednesday night and being part of that 128 plus crowd who supported the boys so finely throughout the game. But for those of you who haven't heard it yet or haven't seen it, here is the audio. Who was the commentator?
Adam Summerton.
I think he's fantastic.
He's great.
I must admit, I think he's absolutely brilliant. And this next clip I think encapsulates the absolute scenes with 93 minutes and 58 seconds on the clock or whatever it was. But take a listen.
Whistles around Victoria Road. They're desperate for the final whistle here. Oh, what a brilliant check. Oh, fantastic. Right at the death. Bromley's top scorer, Rico Hackett, with a moment of real quality. The finish was even better than the initial turn. And look what it means to Neil Smith. Brilliant from Bromley, right at the very end. And they're going to preserve their unbeaten record.
Absolutely brilliant commentary there. And probably a good job we weren't commentating, because I don't think our commentary would have been anywhere near as descriptive as that. I think ours just would have been a whole load of shouting.
Well.
And to be fair, I mean, good job we were, because we were in the press box, you and me, and I was unaware really of any more Bromley fans that were in there. I didn't really know, so probably 30 seconds into, well, probably not even that, probably 10 seconds into absolutely losing my mind at the back of the press box, standing up, giving it the whole works. You had that realisation, okay, you're in the home stand, everyone home fans around you. But then all of a sudden in front of us, there was about a group of, I don't know, 10 or 12 who all got up exactly the same as us, going absolutely delirious, everything in the home stand. And we all both looked at each other. It was like that moment where you're like, Oh Bromley, and then we realised it was Rico's family.
It was Rico's family, and they were. To be fair, they were celebrating just as much as us, even when the final whistle went. And one of them sort of turned. I think it was his mum turned around and sort of made eye contact with me, and we just sort of fist pumped at each other.
I'd say that we had a few of the squad that were off, not on the bench as well. Down
Jake
to left
Goodman,
of us, didn't we?
Jordan Higgs, Briggs as well was down there. Yeah, it was great.
Absolutely fantastic. Cookie's joined us. Welcome to the podcast, Cookie. You all right?
I'm good, Jim.
Anyway, so then we caught up with manager Neil Smith at the end of the game, and here's what he had to say.
Neil, another game that pretty much had everything. Congratulations, 94th minute, it couldn't have been any later, but the goal that Dagenham Rebury scored couldn't have really come in any earlier.
No, I've just said to in another interview, I think the game lasted 3 minutes in respect of they scored in the first 90 seconds and we've scored in the last 90 seconds. So, you know, all the huff and puff in between. But I thought we deserved it. I thought the boys, like I said, have shown a resilience since they've come in. Rico especially, you know, having the shot just tipped over, having the penalty appeal. We had a couple of shots hit the post in the first half as well, and I thought we deserved minimum a draw. I think the players are still growing.
Still undefeated, and obviously coming down again from a goal behind. What is it about the never say die attitude?
No, when we signed these players, you sort of look at their character, and we do runs that sometimes isn't about how far they run or how fast they run, it's how they mentally approach it. And not one player ever gave up on any of the runs we did. And they were hard runs, and they're sort of testing psychologically on them. So you saw a bunch of boys that, you know, if someone was struggling, they were helping them. They weren't just running and looking after themselves, which sometimes they do in pre-season. And you sort of take little notes on that, but every week so far, these boys are growing, they're showing a resilience, they're showing a togetherness, they're showing an attitude, they're showing a desire, and I think the supporters have bought into them as well. But I think actually the players have bought into themselves now.
And last of all, we mention it every interview, but it's always worthy. The fans that have travelled up on a Wednesday night, despite being a live game, they could sit home and watch it on TV. 128 people turn up. They look like more in the stands, and the scenes are unbelievable.
No, they're amazing. It's like you've won the league. It's like you've won a cup final for them, and that just means so much to the players that they get appreciated on the work ethic. I think they would have given us that if we hadn't have even got that goal. But to get that goal at the end, they're sitting at 30 seconds before the end of the game. I think, you know, they go home very, very happy, and I just hope they come in their numbers on Saturday against a very, very tough Chesterfield side, ex-league, everything that goes with it. But, you know, I want to make Bromley Football Club a difficult team to play against, and at the moment that's what we are.
Brilliant. Neil Smith, thank you very much.
An absolutely fantastic night on Tuesday, Cook.
Oh, it's unreal. I was with the fans for the game.
Apologies, Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah. I was with the fans. It went slow motion. You just couldn't believe it. We was resulted to the fact we'd lost, and the last kick of the game, he's turned. We was just all on our feet. I was hugging Tim Wheeler, Georgie Weaver, like Wayne come down. Yeah, poor Tim. We were screaming so loud, I lost my voice, and just the eruption just from Bromley fans, and it sounds on the video. No matter.
Sounds brilliant on BT on the
on the 5,000 Bromley fans there.
It was brilliant.
It was unreal.
It did sound absolutely great. I must admit, I struggle on midweek games. I never sleep afterwards. Like, don't know what it is, because of the adrenaline of the day or whatever it is. And I'm obviously driving back and then got home and everything. But I must have watched that video on loop about, I don't know, you know.
I'm in high. Like, I mean, high, like, three figure.
I must be, yeah. I just carried on watching it. And then there was a video of some of the fans in the Ravens bar, and then I was going back through all the tweets and sending us, you know, abusive messages during the first half of the game, etc. And how on earth are you third in the table? And I think we actually replied to one of them, quoting them, but by not losing any games so far, you know, a little blowy kiss. And that was great fun, because it was like
social media.
But yeah, honestly, I was up. I just don't sleep. Just completely throws a week out, everything like that. And that's probably half the reason this podcast is out so late again.
You have to be up at 5 a.m. the next day, and again, like a couple of hours sleep. But you wake up and you still got the buzz.
Moving away from first team affairs now. Apologies, that on the results side, that leaves us further in the table, doesn't it?
Yes. Still unbeaten after 8 games now.
Fantastic. Moving away from the first team briefly, Matt, we're going to catch up with our under-23s and obviously some of the development players that we've got out on loan at various clubs.
Yeah, very much so. So Danny Mills now provides us with an update over these players every week, which is great to see.
Danny Mills is the under...
Yeah, the professional development manager, a.k.a. the under-23s, who obviously we spoke about, kicked off their season with a great 3-1 win over Sutton. And a few of players that have come through those ranks. Billy Crask, Anthony Dwyer and Briggs Ogerman all started in Glebe's FA Vars win against Guildford City. And Billy and Anthony actually both scored in the match. So two of the three goals coming from Bromley boys, which is great to see. Claudio Krasnicki and Alex Breffo started in Lordswood's 2-0 win over Salt Dean in the FA Trophy. And Lewis Miller assisted two goals for Lewisham Borough in their 3-1 win against Croydon.
it's fantastic to see a little sort of network of clubs and connections that you now have with. I know in the past you'd be dubious about sending a player somewhere because it's all on dual registration, it's all loans, and you know ended up. I mean, I think there was an example a few years ago of a
we done like, dual registrations like the likes of Alfie May and stuff, didn't we? So
cool, yeah. Well, look at it, where he ended up.
Playing for Doncaster now.
Yeah. Got that one wrong. But no, it's great to see that, like you say, the lads being able to come through the academy, etc. And then, you know, like you say, there's always that gap between finishing 18 and then, you know, actually being ready to play that first team level. And that first team level, that gap has obviously grown over the years as we've got promoted, etc. And finally, it really does look like the under-23, not only the under-23 setup, but also the fact that we're able to loan players out, etc. It's really starting to bring benefits, really.
Yeah, it helps the players as well. 23 footballs still, I think, getting there with some of the teams that we play in the leagues, and they're getting first team competitive football with the likes of like Lords Wood and Glebe. I mean, we know how good sort of like them teams can be. So to send players out there and then to get that experience is vital for coming back and helping the development of them going through Bromley and aiming for the first team.
And obviously, talking about the development, obviously starts a lot earlier than that. Obviously, the fantastic youth section that we have at the club. Probably touching that more briefly, we're putting together a great little youth day for Notts County game amongst our own youth teams, etc., which is going to be a really hopefully help boost the crowd on that game. But obviously, like I say, it starts in the youth section, but we also have our youth academy, Cookie, and the under-15s are actually in action tonight.
They are indeed. They're playing Sutton and managed by... our very own Jake Goodman started, obviously, unfortunately, picked up the injury earlier this year and really working. We get an interview of him, which will come up in a bit, and he talks about how he's always been a name. And to bring him in early and helping him to nurture and develop the under-15s, he's also working alongside the under-18s in the academy. It's fantastic to see. So not only is he building himself and aiming to get fitness and get back into playing football, he's starting to get the experience of management. And I feel a player like him can help nurture the younger players coming through our system. And actually,
yeah, it's great, to have someone like Jake around the place full time beyond just the football in the mornings. Obviously, he's doing his rehab, and in between that, like you say, he's obviously
he's a great person to have around.
For those of you listening, but unfortunately this podcast is probably put out far too late as normal, but they're in action on Friday night. They're playing Sutton United on the stadium pitch, and it'll be great to see how they get on. And on that note, Cook, I think you managed to catch up with Jake.
I did indeed.
And what was it about?
Just about his fitness, and also talking about the under-15s. I'm here joined by Jake Goodman. Jake, it's good to have you on the podcast again. First of all, we've seen some videos of you recently, back in training, running, balancing, kicking the ball. How's the recovery going for yourself?
Yeah, it's going really well. I've seen the surgeon quite a few times after the operation. He's really pleased with the progress. I'm really pleased with the work I've done so far. Gaffer's then happy, Smudge's then really happy with the progress so far, but we've still got a long way to go.
Okay, and long to go, time frames, obviously nothing concrete yet, but are we talking end of the season or is it before that? What's your time frame? What's going on?
The time frame in my head is before the gaffer's time frame. I don't really want to say anything because jinxing it, and I don't want to have that sort of pressure on me. We've discussed it in private. We know what the plan is, but I've then said what my expectations and my return date is.
So it's working to that. But obviously, out of the injury, which was obviously devastating, has brought out a management role at the football club. You're now in charge of the under-15s.
Yeah, in charge of the under-15s and the first year's under-18s. So two sort of coaching roles. It's something I want to go into after my career ends, hopefully in another 10 years. But for me to have this opportunity of then learning, it's a great opportunity, and why waste hours when I can learn another another path in my career after football.
And you make your management debut tonight in the league, and you're on the main stadium pitch, so 8 o'clock kickoff. It's must be exciting for you.
Yeah, their players must be unreal. So it's not about me. It's for them. They get good experience on the pitch. I'm looking forward to it. The under-15s, who are a great set of players, the technical and tactical ability of those players are frightening for me to say it. So it should be really enjoyable, and I really look forward to taking them for the season.
What's it like from your youth, when obviously you was in the youth section trying to, not at this club, but you was trying to break through and making yourself an established footballer? How is it, and what can you do to nurture them players to ensure that you're getting the best out of them?
Well, for me, I was only a Sunday league until 16. Then at 17, I went to a college programme. But for the younger ones we've got now, for the under-15s, what I like is letting them play. Let them play as much as they can, as much football, make as many mistakes so they can learn from those. It's, you see so many times people make a mistake at that young age and they either get shouted at, which is, for me, is wrong. You just got to let them learn and let them make the mistakes so they can learn.
That's it, Jake. Well, it's best of luck tonight with your managerial debut. No doubt we'll catch up with you soon and find out how you got on and into a possible future star manager.
Yeah, hopefully. 15 years' time.
Yeah, well after your playing career, you got years. Yeah,
15 years' time, not in the next month or so.
Jake, thank you very much.
Brilliant, thank you.
Great to hear from Jake there. Obviously, sounds in great spirits, and you sort of forget how long it's been now, but he's clearly obviously embraced his rehab and the opportunity to be involved on the coaching side of it with the club full time, and it's great to see. I've forgotten. Oh, community, Matt. Apologies. Sorry.
Yes. So we've had a very, very busy few weeks in the community scheme. We've had the half-term soccer camp, which has been a real success during the summer. Plenty of kids turning up every day and more Bromley
shirts. That's been full on. Six weeks.
It is. And we didn't miss a single day. We went right up until the last day of the holidays. Even on the bank holiday, we were here. You know, we were here. Like I said, plenty of Bromley shirts as well being worn, which was nice to see.
Great feedback from the parents as well, which is always nice. Some lovely messages from everybody over on the emails, etc.
It's been great. Like you say, we've had some fantastic feedback, and a big thank you to all the parents and children that have come, and also to the fantastic group of coaches that have committed to helping us out with it.
Well, they must be out on their feet. After 6 weeks.
I think so.
The schools are back. The kids are obviously back to school now, school term, so we revert back to our usual routine.
Yeah, we did carry on in the summer, the Saturday morning soccer school. Obviously numbers were a bit lower than normal, but we still had a good amount of people turning up. Soccer school is obviously carrying on now right through till Christmas, actually. We're going to go through the October half term.
Use the word Christmas already.
All the stuff's in the shops at the minute, isn't it?
Oh, gosh. Right, can I speak now? We've got a great discount, actually, if you commit for the term. You can save £16 online, and obviously you can book individual sessions as well. Bring your kid along if you've got a child aged 4 and upwards. It is really, really good fun. The coaches are all Bromley FC coaches. They're all passionate about the club, and obviously it is at the home of the club, usually on the stadium pitch, so why not come along and give it a go?
Brilliant. Thank you very much for the update, Matt. As ever, all the details are over on the website, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. Next up, we're going to talk about Chesterfield. Oh, no, tell you what I want to do. Sorry, I just want to jump in. Is the everyone who's been putting up the match posters.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Have you seen that? A massive thank you to the fans, local companies, businesses and sponsors, etc., who have heeded our call for help, etc., and have put the posters up in their windows. And what's been brilliant is we've asked people to take photos and send us and let us know what they're up. And it's been brilliant, because I think it's almost turned into a competition of who can do the biggest poster. And there's been some fantastic fantastic versions, and there's too many companies to name. I don't want to name one and then upset someone else but not mention them. So if you follow us on social media, you'll see on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, we've tried to thank everybody who has done it so far and sent a photo. So for those who aren't aware, you can go onto the Bromley FC website. It's on the front page, and you can download a match poster, which includes our next four or five fixtures. And we're just encouraging people to put them up in their office, their workplace, their shop window, wherever they can, and just take a photo for us and let us know it's up, just so we can thank you. And I think we're going to include some of them in the next programme for Notts County game as well, just as a shout out and a thank you to those who have done so. It's been brilliant to see, great to see so many people get behind us and trying to support the club in promoting our fixtures. I think the average crowd so far has been fantastic for the games you've had, and no doubt Chesterfield on Saturday and also Notts County in a couple of weeks' time is really going to boost our crowd. So it'll be fantastic to see what numbers we can get. So a big thank you to everybody who's taking part in that. And talking about first team affairs, obviously Chesterfield on Saturday.
Yeah, back in action on Saturday against Chesterfield. Just to run you through, haven't won in the league since the 22nd of April.
Oh, great.
Last season.
So, just to confirm, we're unbeaten and they've not won a game yet.
No, they've
and we're playing each other on Saturday.
They've had five
and the script's draws, not written.
Five draws, four losses, and currently find themselves in the table in 22nd position. So it's a tall order, but Matt, obviously, despite that, they still have a danger man, and you're going to tell us about him.
They do. They have Mike Fondop, who Bromley fans may remember scoring against. That's Danger Mouse. He's certainly not a mouse. He's 6'7", I think. So they like a tall front man. Chesterfield, having had Tom Denton last year, and this guy is
Fondop. Was he Wrexham?
He was. Yeah, he scored the chip against us.
That
remember?
Was it. Yeah.
And actually, didn't really play much for Wrexham after scoring loads of goals in the first few games of the season. Was loaned out to Maidenhead. Didn't pull up trees there, but he's gone to Chesterfield sort of a few weeks into the season, and I think he's got 5-6 goals already. He's in great form, even if his side aren't, so he's
can't
definitely one to
they've
look
not
out
won
for.
And we haven't lost. It's like,
oh gosh, don't know.
That's it. There we go.
Anyway, yeah, that's
obviously just to build your pre-match motivation for the game.
It's going to be a game you're not going to want to miss. Tickets are available on the website.
You'll see, oh,
www.bromleyfc.co.uk.
Chesterfield obviously looking to bring a few. We imagine they're going to bring sort of 150, 200, you would have thought.
Yeah, we've been told about around about 200, 250 away supporters.
Fantastic.
Despite the results,
I think obviously no football really, is there? Palace aren't playing. I don't know if Millwall
is international break. Break.
Jinx.
Look at that, Sam.
Look at you two. Brilliant. Synchronised. So yeah, please pull your friends along, Millwall fans, Palace fans, Chant fans, whoever your mates are usually. I've got some kind of excuse not to come. Get him along. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic afternoon.
Bring the noise.
As ever, free pint. I mean, what more can you ask? Ravens Bar's open from midday. Free pint of Spitfire Lager before 1 o'clock for everyone who turns up over
it's
the age of 18.
Well. It's a very good pint.
Very enjoyable. obviously, I don't know what's on the telly beforehand. I think it's a league game, isn't it? It's not like...
MK Dons, AFC Wimbledon,
Dons
possibly.
Versus, yeah, well, but saying that, after the game, two fantastic games, 5 o'clock. So first of all, the real action, 3 o'clock, Bromley versus Chesterfield. 5 o'clock in the bar, it's England, isn't it? England
it is.
Bulgaria.
Bulgaria.
Fantastic. Followed by, is it Hartlepool, Woking?
Woking, yeah. Should be a good game, that.
Brilliant. And that's at 7:30, isn't it? So a full day of action. Live football at Bromley Football Club on Saturday. As Cookie's already said, the tickets are available on the website. They're cheaper in advance, remember, and they can be bought online right up until 1 o'clock on the day of the game. A massive thank you as ever to everybody who's downloaded, tuned, listened in, subscribed, comments. It's greatly appreciated. It's going to be hopefully another fantastic occasion, Hayes Lane on Saturday. It's been great to see the sound stand full and on a
and
match
rocking.
Day. And it's just the atmosphere and the noise, etc. You can see it's just genuinely rising. I don't know if everyone's starting to believe in something, or there just seems to be a genuine buzz around the place on match days, which is brilliant. And I'm sure the first team players will want to be doing everything they can to maintain that come tomorrow and come kickoff. Anything else, guys?
I think that's that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, Matt. Guys, thank you very much for joining us on this podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much, everyone. Remember, you can get in touch with us, podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk. You can tweet us @BromleyFC using the hashtag RavensWeekly, or you can reply to the posts on other social media as well.
See you all at the game. Just one team for me.
and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley.